Happy Tuesday, and welcome to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and today I'm bringing you a show from the road, a show from Lilydale, New York, a little hamlet in the southwestern portion of upstate New York, which is also known as the Center for Spiritualism. And spiritualism is a religious movement that began in the 1840s that's based on the belief that the spirits of the dead exist and have both the ability and the inclination to communicate with the living. And spiritualists utilize the work of mediums to communicate with the dead. I didn't go in search of Lilydale. Lilydale actually found me. Well, Lilydale found my daughter, who was driving with me last summer from Chicago to New Jersey, and we were looking for interesting things to do along the way. And Kelly came upon Lilydale and said, "Mom, we have to go there. We have to check this place out." We knew nothing about the area, although I have always been fascinated with upstate New York because it has a really incredible history of religious movements, that it's known for having some sort of magical energy. They have a daily fee that you pay because they don't want people just kind of coming through and gawking. The town, beautiful old architecture, mostly Victorian homes, little tiny Victorian homes line the streets. There's only about 273 residents year round, and many of the homes are inhabited by mediums who do readings throughout the summer months to visitors to the community. And they also have outdoor services throughout each day for visitors to come and have messages read by the mediums. It's quite something. We just walked through Lilydale on our first visit. And when I was about to leave, I said, "I have to come back and find out more about this. I'm fascinated and it's beautiful." And so I made a few contacts and was able to go back a few weeks later and have a conversation with Susan Glazer, who's the executive director of the Lilydale or Spiritualist Assembly, Joanne Taft, who works for Lilydale and also has raised a family in the area, Tom Rugani, who is a medium and a resident. And then I had two mediumship readings, one with Willa White and another with Shirley Uchek. And so I've put together bits of those conversations to give you a feeling of this place, Lilydale, and spiritualism, the movement on which Lilydale was founded. So we'll start with my first reading with Willa White.
This recording is for Elizabeth. So when I connect with spirit, I usually either see, I hear, or I feel them. It just depends on how they're wanting to manifest, because they're in charge of that part. Okay. They'll also usually give impressions about people or situations around you, and they're doing that to give confirmation that they're still around and that they still care. They may offer guidance, but it's up to you whether you take their advice. Okay. As I tell people, if you weren't going to listen to them when they were here, you might not want to listen to them now, because sometimes they're very full of their own opinions, their own ideas about how things should be. And ultimately, you need to listen to your own soul and make your decisions accordingly. And you're welcome to ask questions as we go along. If you need clarification on the information, go ahead and ask. Okay. And right there, or in that moment, I'm more likely to be able to get that for you. And I'll need a vocal response. They work strong in the voice. Okay. And you're doing good so far. You can say things like, "Yes, no, maybe," or, "Oh, that's mine." And it's always wonderful to see how people react. But I don't want you to feed me information. Just be willing to verify and confirm. And I'll make a strong link with whatever they would offer first. Okay. Then a little bit later on, I'll open up to you. If there's something specific that you'd like to focus on, we can try to do that. I just can't guarantee that I'll be able to connect with a certain spirit or information. All I can do is request, see what happens.
Okay.
Any questions about that process?
No.
Pretty clear?
Yeah, I think pretty comfortable.
Good. Well, the first thing I'm connecting with, there's a gentleman who presents, and I get problems into the chest area with his heart, and I can also feel a bit into the breathing as well. And he's a stubborn man, because I can feel this sense of, "No, I'm not going to do what you want me to do." especially about my health. So he was absolutely ridiculous about it. And he tended to be a bit, kind of cowboy about it. You know, like, I'm going to go out on my terms. So there's very much the, I go down when I want to. So it's his attitude and his personality, and there's a lot of humor with him as well. And it is a bit of an acquired taste. It's one of those things where you're just like, did you really just say that? So he needed a few, you know, put downs, if you ask me, to quit. And I do feel that he comes in with a lot of love for you. He said that he loved bantering with you. Mm-hmm. And he seemed to live for doing that with people. And I guess that you had to distance yourself from him. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't blame you about that. He actually takes his side of it. He takes responsibility for it. Because he says you just couldn't handle his energy, his particular force. And he wants to apologize for having been that way with you.
You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist and a show from the road. I'll continue with Willa White.
Is it always a happy message? I mean, is it always filled with love? And if people passed and maybe weren't great souls, or you didn't have a great relationship, do they just don't contact you? And like, what about the negativity that, like, are there things you didn't say today because you don't want my feelings to be hurt?
No, I give whatever I receive. Okay. And, you know, they were pretty blunt. Like, with the one man, he apologized for the way he was when he was here. Mm-hmm. So I asked them to present the way they were when they were here. So that's the good, the bad, the otherwise. You kind of get them in the unadulterated, unabridged version mm-hmm. of them. And they do evolve. They go through life review and they have opportunity to look at the good, the bad, the otherwise, what they did and how it affected other people. And so for some people, life review is easy. For others, it's slogging through mud. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that he recognizes the errors of his ways. With other clients who have had truly negative people right. in their life, they have been perhaps abusive mm-hmm. to them, it can be such a healing experience for a mm-hmm. reading, for them to come through and for the forgiveness to happen in that moment. And so, yes, they can manifest in that way, but it's not scary. Okay. My guides work with me in a very healing way, so we're always protected, we're always safe. It's not scary like a horror movie, right? As you can see from our reading today. So I think there are ways to discuss with people gently, diplomatically, the events that have gone on with them, the wounds they might have been carrying with someone who's passed over. They never were able to get to that point with them when they were here on the earth plane. And right. now they're able to transcend it and just let that be water under the bridge. So
I love that. Thank you.
We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was one as we sail into the mystic. Oh, I can now hear the sailors cry, smell the sea and feel the sky.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. We just heard from Willa White, who is a registered medium in the hamlet of Lilydale, and she's also part of the spiritualist movement. I continue my conversation with a sit-down I was able to have with three of the elders of Lilydale in the spiritualist community. Susan Glazer, who's the executive director, has been a resident and a part of Lilydale for 50 years. I also spoke to Joanne Taft, who has raised her children and now her grandchildren in Lilydale, and she works in the main office overseeing the goings-on of Lilydale, and Tom Rugani, who is a medium and also a resident of Lilydale. And so let's continue with our conversation about life in southwestern New York and life amongst the dead.
What drew you here originally 50 years ago to Lilydale?
Originally, my family was here, my mother and my grandmother, and I came to reside with them due to a family situation and got interested in spiritualism, and the rest is really history. You know, you get really involved. You get involved with the church, as Joanne has. We were very involved with the church, the fire department. My job is to run everything and see that it runs smoothly, along with a wonderful staff here in the office with a maintenance crew. And in the summer, we get between 22 and 30,000 people in 9 weeks. We have a campgrounds beach. We have the fairy village. We have a beautiful healing temple. We have 3 churches. We have a wonderful library, a wonderful one-of-a-kind museum, as well as the library. And in the summer, we offer programs, workshops, healings, private readings. We have over 50 registered mediums that give private readings. We have outdoor message services. So it is a village, and this village opens its home, its heart, and its soul to all those visitors for many reasons.
So it's almost like there's 2 things happening. Lilydale is a community of like-minded people.
Exactly. That's exactly what we are.
Mm-hmm. And it was established in the 1800s, right? Around 1840?
Yes. 1879.
Oh, 1879. And so since that time, it's been primarily inhabited by mediums, which is that?
No, not okay. Everybody. You do not have to be a medium to live okay. here, but you do have to be a spiritualist.
Okay. Now you have to. And just explain the difference or how they come together.
Well, you have to be a spiritualist, you have to belong to a spiritualist church. You go to a church, you decide this is for you. This is where you fit. Your mindset fits with what we believe in. You then join the church. You then are allowed to join the assembly. And by joining the assembly, that gives you the privilege of possibly purchasing a home here. Mm-hmm. Now, you do not have to be a medium to own a home here or reside here. You know, a lot of people will rent here. We have some renters here. They too have to be spiritualist. Mediumship is a whole different story. You have to go through a testing period, and then you do private readings, you read for the board, and you are scored. Okay. And you don't always pass. It's rigorous because you are dealing with a person's life. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, we have to make sure that the people that are registered, because they are representing us, mm-hmm. are the best. And we know what to look for, what proof to bring that it is spirit. And therefore, it is a tough test, but it has to be. You need to protect. Not only, I feel, do you have to protect the customer, if you will, mm-hmm. the people that come in, you also need to have a protection for the medium.
And so you can be everyone is a spiritualist.
Correct.
Not everyone is a medium.
Correct.
But the mediums represent the spiritualist church or Lilydale. Does that, you know what I'm asking? Because you say they represent us.
I would say that they represent spirit.
Okay. The religion.
The religion.
I'm coming down the table here.
Yep.
All right. And so what brought you to, I mean, I have 2 questions. How did you know you were a medium, and 2, what brought you to Lilydale?
The first one's easy, my wife.
Brought you to Lilydale or told you you were a medium?
Brought me to Lilydale. She was the medium. Oh, I just wanted to be a healer. But see, mediumship and healing are 2 sides of the same coin. They're both mediumistic, and they both use the same idea of connecting with spirit while minimizing your ego.
Okay.
The idea is to help people.
Yes.
Okay. Through my healing, I became more and more aware that spirit wanted me to deal with the mental mediumship type of thing as opposed to the hands-on healing, although I still do that. Mm-hmm. And so then I applied, and after several attempts.
the rigorous testing that we talked about?
Yes. I passed and became a registered medium.
Your early career, I mean, you didn't grow up as a healer. Did you grow up in a family of healers? I mean, how did you find this path? Because I'm always fascinated to know when people discover that they have the gift of healing, and what exactly was that, and when did you discover it?
Not to insult anyone, I'm a recovering Catholic. And from an early age, which to me, we go back to the latter years of high school and especially the beginning years of college, something was missing in the spiritual part of my development.
Okay.
And I really didn't know what it was. Part of the chunk was put together in the year I spent in Vietnam, mm-hmm. And my contact with the Buddhist religion over there. And it wasn't until my wife, Catherine, was working in a bookstore here one summer, and she asked me to join her in a church service, and I started listening to what she was talking about and the religion of spiritualism. I said, well, this is falling in line with where I want to be.
Hmm.
It's the idea of an all-loving, creating being.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea of we're responsible for our own actions, mm-hmm. and that we don't do things because we fear punishment, but because we understand that we have an obligation to ourselves, to other people, and to the universe to make the world a better place to be. That's how it, but it was a long, long process.
Mm-hmm.
I was middle age when it finally dawned, or the opportunity presented itself.
So were you doing healing work before you found spiritualism, or did it all come together at the same time?
I found spiritualism and then I got involved in the healing.
And so how has this changed your life? How has living in Lilydale and doing this work changed you as a person?
I'd like to say I'm a gentler, softer human being, but that's a crock. But it's allowed me to look at the world and what happens in a way as to be, and I think the biggest thing is to find comfort in being responsible for my actions, be they good or be they bad.
Hmm.
And to recognize that I am a multifaceted person, I'm not all sweetness and light. And that when you have that not nice side of you surface, you can ask yourself why and what can I do about it. And gives me an opportunity to work toward making myself a better person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to give up the vinegar. I just can't do that.
Is there a sense of activism in spiritualism, social activism, or is it more of a personal activism?
Yeah.
Historically, it's been starting with the women's movement. Okay, yeah. Susan B. Anthony was not allowed to go to Chautauqua to speak, because she was a woman. She came to Lilydale and spoke on the platform for many times. So you want to talk activism, you go back to the beginnings, they talked about the founders of spiritualism being free thinkers.
Okay.
The free thinkers in relationship to the idea of they would not follow the doctrine and the dogma of the original religions of the time. And they also, contrary to the societal things, the equality of women has been day one. Some of the mothers of Lilydale, Marion Skidmore being one of them, and she was responsible for bringing in Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton. You look at the early leaders of the community, and they were women, and the men supported them. Mm-hmm. So it politically active, they've always been there. It's a historical, it's almost inbred.
It is, you're right.
So was spiritualism founded by women then, originally?
No, not really. It was founded by people from Leona, which is a small village down here. Spiritualism started originally with the Fox sisters.
Okay.
So the Fox sisters were two young girls, and they heard rappings in this cottage that they lived in. And in investigation, they called him, I believe, Mr. Splitfoot, correct?
Mr. Splitfoot. They thought they were dealing with evil spirits, right. The devil.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Which would go along with the religious dogma of the time, that there was just good and bad.
Right. And the Fox sisters came from a mediumistic family. Grandma and Mom were in there. So Mom was more or less supportive of it. But Katie was the young one?
Yeah.
And she turns around and they start asking questions with a yes or no, one rap, two raps, you know. So she's joking around and she says, well, if you're really here, do what I do. And she started rapping and it started coming back. And then they came up with this one rap, two rap code, one for yes, two for no type of thing, and found out that the person that was doing the rapping had been murdered in the cottage.
Oh.
He was a traveling salesman. Okay, by the name of Rosna, and he was buried in the basement.
Oh, so it was a very lively spirit connection.
Yes. So they eventually found his peddler's trunk and things like this. But what the Fox sisters were able to do is prove, they were able to prove that we don't die. That's one of the tenets of spiritualism. Life continues even though the body doesn't.
Okay.
And we keep our personality. And these two young women were treated horribly because people thought it was a hoax.
I mean, they did.
They would stand them on a table and strip them naked.
Yes.
And ask questions, and the knockings would still happen. And it's what do you want to call it, almost ironic, because neither of those two ladies were ever really spiritualists. The religion started after, but they're the reason why it started.
So it's almost as if their experience inspired further
others to come forward with it. And this was going on for years, but it was secretive because it was evil, people thought, okay? And I think it gave more validity to it, obviously. My theory is that, so of course, obviously spirit's always been here, but the physical phenomena such as that, or independent voice, or using the trumpet, I think that was a way for spirit to let us in this world know, hey, there's more to you than your body.
Right.
That's right. So that awakened the movement. And it had been going on in England, I believed it anyway. So
mesmerism started in Europe, which we call hypnotism.
Right.
Okay. And the initial mediums were hypnotized.
Oh, okay.
Voice mediums were hypnotized. And that's how we got, this was started because a gentleman came through and was hypnotized. Mm-hmm. And he found out that he didn't need to be hypnotized to give messages. And eventually he got a message to come up here and start the community.
Yeah. So there was a man originally started Lilydale. I just keep thinking that this must be incredibly women-centric, but...
Very winter. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We have very few registered mediums that are men, I think.
Nine.
Just
but who's counting?
Nine out of 50.
Nine out of 50, so it's a little, yeah.
It's a little lopsided.
Why are women so much more connected to spirit through mediumship than men? Have we thought about that?
Well, I think because women are more willing to look into it, look into spiritualism and everything. And the men, kind of follow behind saying, okay, honey, if this is what you want to do. And we take it a lot. Most of the women actually own the homes here because they take the steps to join the church, to join the assembly, and then to purchase the home. I mean, my husband, although he was born and raised here, I'm the one who owns the home.
So it's almost a matriarchal society here.
Yes, I would say so. It's a very, very simple religion. It is, you know whether you're doing something purposely wrong to hurt somebody, and you try not to do that, and you do try to just, you live a gentle life. Do right by people.
So it sounds like spiritualism takes out the hell and brimstone scary part.
There is no hell.
Yeah,
okay. There is no hell. You make your own. Mm-hmm. You live your own life, as Joanne said. You make it by choices. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is no heaven and hell because we believe life goes on.
Because I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around, and how does speaking to spirit come to play in a religious, in your church every week? Is it part of that weekly?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it is. In the church services, you have a normal church service as far as a lecture, your hymns, you have healing. A spiritualist not only looks out for oneself, but you're looking out for everything. As Joanne said, you're looking out for the world, basically. But you have to remember you're human.
I like that keeps being the theme, is that there's grace for the good and the bad that resides in all of us.
There are many different spiritualist groups in Britain, in Canada, Australia, around the world, even in the United States. But they all adhere to certain basic, we call them principles.
Okay.
There is no dogma. That means you don't have to, without believe in that with fear of retribution.
Okay.
And the one is, we believe in an infinite intelligence. Personal responsibility is a key part. Okay, that and the golden rule, do unto others. Those are two of the key things. Mediumship is to prove the continuity of life, because one of the principles is we never die. We change form, conservation of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you keep the personality. So the spiritual, the mediumship is to show this as a reality, and that's something where we, unfortunately, what do you want to call them, soothsayers, fortune tellers, or whatever, they give the religion a bad rap because everybody thinks that we're pulling a fast one on them. But when somebody comes up to you and tells you something that nobody else ever knew and brought in somebody that you knew, let's say, as a small child, and you absolutely... Where are they getting this information? Right. That's the proof in the continuity, okay, in the personal responsibility. The other thing is that most other religions have, or Western religions, have this idea of finality. You die, you go to heaven, you sit next to the being. Mm-hmm. It's not so. It's the idea of you continue your progress. Okay, and nobody is cast aside for doing an oops somewhere in their life.
Okay.
Everybody and everything has something good in them.
Okay, I believe that.
To some extent. What they do with that good or don't do with that good is what makes them unique. We say they have the opportunity, if they want to take it, to make themselves better. They may not want to. But the devil isn't making them do it. They chose to do it.
Okay. Because in my head, I'm trying to wonder, like, I think about the collective unconscious or the universal energy. Matthew Fox does creation spirituality. Right. And he talks about that there's one universal energy or infinite intelligence, right? One.
And that's what we call it.
Yes.
Infinite intelligence.
And he says that each religion has a well that kind of taps into this energy. And the difference between each religion is how deeply the individual is allowed to go in. Like the Catholic Church doesn't let anyone in the well, only but right. And so is the idea that we come into a human body and then we return to that universal energy, and would we come back into a human body? Like, how do we leave the universal energy and become a spirit, a body, and then go back to the spirit energy? Do we ever come back into a body, and that's reincarnation? Is that at all part of
there are many beliefs in reincarnation.
In spiritualism?
There are. It's not part of the principles.
Okay.
But if you look at the idea that in most religions or Western religions, you have free will.
Yes.
So do you want to come back? It's your choice. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
But not the karma piece where you've got to come back and get smarter?
No. You have to get smarter in a manner of speaking, but you don't have to do it on the earth plane.
Okay.
You can do this in spirit, but there's certain things you can learn a lot quicker, a lot better, and a lot faster, I believe, in a human body.
Because you have the constant temptations or opportunities for interaction.
Right. And so that's that opportunity. But it's not like Buddhism or Hinduism where you're forced to come back or you become a lesser being, which is a form of punishment.
Right.
It's where are you and what do you want to do and what is it you want to learn? Some people say you have a group of people that you're born into, your cell spark. And you all, and this is mind-blowing to me, you all interact and interchange. You know, you're not always the same sex. You're not always the same person. You may be the husband, the wife, the father, you know, the boyfriend, whatever you want. But it's all there to create growth. And it's all choice.
Okay. I'm just taking it in.
Me too.
Because are you afraid to die?
I think it's my human part is, yes. Okay, so I think that's part of being human, is to face that reality. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things that took me a long time to learn is that if you're going to be courageous, you have to face your fears, because a person that doesn't have any fears is fearless. He can't be courageous.
Okay.
So part of doing that, but see, my wife passed over, and I know she's coming back and kicking me from time to time.
Okay.
So I know she's there waiting for me, too. Along with other members. I just want to know how the Catholic part of my family is going to put up with this. Surprise!
And for you, so do you worry about death?
I'm not afraid to die, no. Okay. No, I, as Tom said, I think the human part of you, me.
The ego, I guess.
It could be called ego, right. But no, because I know that life goes on, and you have that choice. One of our tenets is the doorway to reformation is never closed against any human soul here or hereafter. So you have the option, as Tom said. You know, you have the, just because if you're a bad person here, you have the choice when your spirit to either continue to be bad or to learn to grow. Because the spirit world is constantly moving and constantly in flux. They are doing things and learning and becoming more knowledgeable as they grow. They can choose not to. They can be very, you can be very happy right where you're at and stay right there.
Just like way back in the days of old. How magnificently we will fold into the misty.
You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a show from the road from Lilydale, New York, the Center for Spiritualism, the largest center for spiritualism in the world. And you're listening to my conversation with Tom Rugani, Joanne Taft, and Susan Glazer, all elder members of the Hamlet of Lilydale and members of the Spiritualist Church. And we continue our conversation. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
There's been a lot of talk in social media and in the world that we're seeing hurricanes and floods and earthquakes and fire and climate change and, you know, signs of the end of times. As mediums or spiritualists, is do you believe that there's some sort of universal messages being sent? I mean, how do you make sense of all that's going on in the world right now from
accepting the responsibility for abusing and misusing our planet.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if we continue to do that, the planet will respond in a like manner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see this as a, what do I want to call it, a divine retribution.
No, there you go.
That's the word I was trying to come up with, too. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's not, it's the earth is responding to the way we have treated it. And that goes back to the tenets of spiritualism.
Right.
You know, what you sow, and it's in the Bible, what you sow, so shall you reap, only it's going to come back in spades.
Mm-hmm.
So how long do you keep beating the horse before it decides it wants to kick you?
Yeah, yes.
You know,
that's an interesting metaphor because you said that about your wife coming back to kick you as well.
It is.
And so what happens for you when you do a reading with clients, and how do you see it change or influence their mental health and well-being?
I look, and this is part of, I think, the definition of a medium is a counselor. Okay, you're doing spiritual counseling as opposed to psychological, but it's still psychological.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to bring, in some cases, closure by helping them understand that they're responsible for what they do, by helping them to understand that what is done is done. What happened, happened. I can't change it. I can change myself and make it better now, but I don't have to throw myself under the bus to do it.
Mm-hmm.
To show them that they can be a positive force in their own lives and in their own communities. A number of people come in and they are so, they've allowed themselves to be so sapped of their own personal energy and personal direction that by beginning to show them that they have the power within them, that they're a unique individual, helps them begin to look and refocus their lives. All right, we go and we know we progress because we all have different quantities of abilities. Everybody can be a healer. They have that. Everybody can be a medium. They have that. It's the question of, do you want to do that, and to what degree do you want to do that?
So in the summers here, because there is a season of Lilydale that's open to the public and people come, as you mentioned, what are... because the programs are not just about mediums or mediumship or spiritualism. It sounds like you have a wide variety of programs that are offered.
This is the purpose
of
Lilydale, is to further the understanding of the science, philosophy, and religion of spiritualism, and to promote activities and discussion concerning modern, benevolent, charitable, literary, scientific, and civic thoughts, and to promote a greater understanding of all mankind. We all, that's what we live by. That is who we are.
So when we talk about, I think you had a Women's Day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In August. So we talked about the activism piece. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about mediumship or getting messages.
Absolutely
it's about the whole human experience.
Exactly. We had a a lady here that taught cooking. Mm-hmm. All right, but it was spiritual cooking, but it was cooking. Okay, you have Qigong, we have yoga. I'm trying to think of, you have workshops on relationships. On what?
Tai Chi.
Tai Chi, yes, yes. We have the ghost walks. We have the Native American sweat lodges that our president puts on, and various leaders. We have drumming on Friday nights. People love the drumming. There's always something going. The hub of Lilydale in the summer seems to be the Maplewood Hotel, which is the main hotel. You sit, it's the porch sitting. It's okay. It's infamous. Believe me, it's infamous. And, you know, you don't meet a stranger. That's what I tell people. Don't be afraid to stop and talk. People are so friendly.
So is spiritualism a growing practice?
It had faltered some, but we're getting back there. I think that there's a resurgence. I think we're seeing, since I've been here, and since I've been here in the office, you see younger people. You also see, what I have found, is you see more men. When I first started working here, very few men would admit to anything like this. Now we have men that are, well, it's true, mediums. But you have men that actually become in touch with themselves, too.
And it's interesting because I was at the Women's Rights Museum yesterday doing an interview, and we were talking about the waves of feminism and this idea that maybe there's a fourth wave emerging that'll be led by men who are just awakening to...
Oh, that could be. I hadn't thought about that. That very well could be.
That are finally getting their opportunity to touch into their nurturing space. And it's in some ways women have tapped very much into their masculine energy with the second wave of going into the workforce. But we didn't allow for men to have the equal opportunity to tap into their feminine energy. And it seems that that's what's being...
It's a very good way to put it. That's right. That's correct.
I love that this place celebrates, and spiritualism celebrates, equality and opportunities for women. Is the infinite spirit feminine? Like when you refer to God, is there a gender that you...
For me, it's energy.
It's pure energy.
Pure energy.
Pure energy.
Mm-hmm. We are not, how should I say, we are not an oddity. Right. We are an aspect of the American culture. We are an outgrowth of what developed in what they called the burned over district that spawned Mormonism, okay, that spawned the Oneida movement and spawned modern spiritualism. This part of the world has an energy unique and simple in a way that allows you to come and be your own person.
What is it about this part of the world? Is there some core of energy?
They speak of ley lines.
Right. Tell me what that is.
It's power lines that go throughout the earth, and they have focal points or centers. Lilydale sits on one.
Right. Really?
Okay. Niagara Falls creates one or helps to create one. The energy of the earth itself, and it draws people, and it gives them, I think, the opportunity to think new thoughts and to actually not just think them, but to make the ideas reality. Mm-hmm. And Western New York has that.
So we are sitting on some sort of earthly energy vortex that creates possibilities for change and enlightenment.
Right. I like that, yes. Very much so. Very much.
When that fog horn comes, you know I will be coming home. Yeah, when that foghorn whistle blows, I gotta hear it. I don't have to fear it, and I wanna rock your gypsy soul, just like way back in the day of old. And together we will fold.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. Today I'm sharing with you a show from the road. Last summer, my daughter Kelly and I were making a trip from Chicago to New Jersey, and Kelly found the Hamlet of Lilydale, and I had two mediumship readings because I was curious to know what this was all about and if there was a difference in what mediums would say or how they behaved. And I was surprised at how different my conversations were with the three different mediums that I spoke to and the two that I had formal readings with. We're going to continue with Shirley Yuschek. And Shirley is a medium who I sat with at the end of my visit. And, well, here's where the conversation took us.
So can you tell me a little bit about your journey to doing this work as a medium? How did you find your way here?
Well, I've always felt like I was on a spiritual path. I grew up Catholic. I entered the convent. I was a nun for 10 years. And even after I left the monastery, it was always needing to help and to serve other people. And one day I drove past Lilydale and I said, I got to find out what's going on there because I don't know if it's good or bad or whatever. So I came in, had a reading, and was absolutely blown away. And it's like, how did this woman know this stuff? I didn't even know this stuff till the next day when I checked it out. And so then I started coming here and taking classes and learning about it and just being in the energy. And after about 10 years, I took the test and became a registered medium. And I've been a registered medium now for 15 years.
And you had lived in a convent for 10 years. So how is this similar or different than being a nun?
I think that the community here is stronger because in the convent, in a cloistered monastery, you spend a lot of time in silence.
Oh, okay.
So you can't really speak about what you're going through. Mm-hmm. But here we can talk to people who understand and know. So it's, I think the community is good. And there's always people ready to take you out or just sit with you or leave you alone if they know what kind of a day you're having. And so they really understand each other.
And so how has spiritualism changed your life? Because Catholicism and spiritualism are quite different. So.
Actually, I don't think they're that different at all.
Tell me.
Because in Catholicism, there is the belief in saints, and you can pray to a saint or ask them for something. Well, saints are just dead people.
True.
And I talk to dead people all the time. So whether they were holy in the sense of the word, they don't have to be, a saint. They can be a saint in their own lives very quietly. And so I talk to a lot of people on the other side that have gone to heaven that are very high up spiritually, you know. And I speak to some that, you know, they miss the mark on a lot of things. But they're still totally happy on the other side. And that's what Catholicism teaches, is that we are happy in heaven. And the difference, though, is in spiritualism, we have no dogma. Mm-hmm. But I like that because I'm a student of different religions from all over the world. I know a bit about Buddhism and Hinduism and Native American spirituality. And I find that when you look at the mystical traditions of all of them, they all say the same thing. You know, it's all about the brotherhood or sisterhood of human beings. Mm-hmm. It's all about love. And so I don't have to believe in one particular philosophical belief to believe in these core values. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I believe in. So I'm very happy where I'm at.
I wish I had a picture that I could throw up, because just the energy that comes off of you is so positive and so joyful. And just as an aside, my experience going through CCD growing up, I never met a nun that seemed happy. Is that why is that? Like, were you this much fun when you were a nun?
No, but then I wasn't a teaching nun, so okay. I never had 50 kids to battle with all day. So if I had 50 kids, I would have been one of those dour nuns also. No, I was one of those nuns that prayed all day. So it was different. I mean, I was very joyful in the monastery, but I also knew at some point I didn't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I felt I could leave. So, but the joy is about your personal connection to the divine. Mm. And so long as that is part of you, it doesn't matter what you're going through on the outside, you know, because you have that foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so as a psychotherapist, I'm always interested in how people find their way to healing, because I think as you talk about the many roads mm-hmm. that people's lives can take, and my concern quite often is that we've narrowed down what we consider the okay paths to healing people can take, you know, medication or certain therapies. And I'm feeling like this experience of people coming to Lilydale, being in the space of Lilydale, is sacred mm-hmm. with the forest and the lake. I mean, the grounds feel sacred, but then sitting with someone who's seeing them, how have you seen people's psyche changed with you?
I have a very good friend who is a licensed psychologist, and she says that doing mediumship with a person for 30 minutes often has the same effect of 6 months of psychotherapy.
Not surprised.
Yeah. And I've seen that so many times with people that have been, I've dealt with people that have been sexually abused and beat up and, you know, had people on the other side. When I try to bring through one of these people, it's like, I don't want to talk to that person. But yet when the person does come through, they can apologize in a way that person can finally let go of the hurt and the anger and the grief. They let go of all of the negative things. And it's like they can relate to that person again in love. And it is so healing for them. Because I do this to heal the person. It's not because it's fun, even though it is.
Yeah.
You know, I do it to heal the person mm-hmm. and to heal not only the person that I'm reading for, but the person, the soul of the person on the other side. Because mm-hmm. sometimes they need to apologize. And they often can't apologize until the person I'm reading for dies and goes to heaven. And then they can see them face to face. So now for me to be the medium in between those two, and to relate that energy of sorrow or sadness or wanting to be forgiven. And when it's accepted and when they say that, I actually feel and see their energy grow mm. and get higher and brighter. And that's a gift to me mm-hmm. to be able to witness that.
Which is why I think so many of us love talk therapy, is to be able to witness and be with someone as they kind of come back into their light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to come to Lilydale, because I want to broaden all of the paths. You know, everyone's going to find a different way to healing. There isn't just one way.
Right.
And we have to have the courage to keep trying new mm-hmm. avenues till we find that. And some people may never find ultimate healing, actually, but we keep trying. And in my own profession, I'm so concerned about poor practitioners
mm-hmm.
because my concern is there are more poor practitioners than good practitioners. And I would imagine that's
That's true with mediumship also.
So how do people know that they found someone they can trust?
Well, here in Lilydale, we don't just let anyone come through the gate and hang up a shingle and become a medium. It takes years and years of practice and study and learning, and then we make them take a test. And the test is very difficult, and a lot of people don't pass the test. But at least when we pass someone, we know that they have a high percentage of truth in what they are bringing through. Mm-hmm. And so we know they're making a connection. No one is ever going to be 100% all the time. But we like to keep it in the higher percentages,
yeah.
You know. In the outside world, there's no regulation about who can call themselves whatever. And psychics are not mediums, but, you know, a lot of people don't understand the difference. Like, all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are medium. So we learn psychic stuff at the beginning. That's like the kindergarten course.
Okay.
And then many psychics advance to some form of mediumship and some don't. But psychic, you get the information directly from the person. You're reading their aura, you're using tarot cards, you're using a piece of jewelry or something that belonged to the person. That's called psychometry. But mediumship is talking directly to people that have gone on to heaven.
Do you see yourself doing this until you pass? Is this some, you know, do people just go off into the Netherlands through their mediumship? Or what does your life look like from here?
Well, being that I was in the convent and I don't have a good 401k.
Now we're talking about the earthly realities, right?
I will be finishing my last reading as they're carrying me feet first out of my reading room. Yeah. Okay. So I will be doing this in some form the rest of my life.
Yeah. And probably with joy.
Oh, absolutely. There's like nothing better I could do with my life. You know, it's like if I think, oh, I'll, you know, retire somewhere nice and warm, and it's like, what would I do all day? You know?
And will you feel that you'll remain? Is Lilydale your home? Do you feel that this is your forever place?
It is. I would prefer that it didn't have as cold of winters as Western New York, but basically I'll just hunker down with my dog and we will ride out the winters until it gets spring again. Yeah.
And what is your favorite part of the summer season? Are there classes that you teach or workshops that you look forward to?
You know, I just being here. Yeah.
That seems to be what I've heard from everyone. Just being in Lilydale, something about the place. Mm-hmm. Can you share with me a particular poignant experience you had doing a reading for someone?
Yeah, I love sharing this one.
Okay.
Because it's about animals. And people don't always know about the animals. But I was reading for a woman once. And I said, this is going to sound very strange to you. But there's an orangutan sitting next to you. And it's a female. Because she doesn't have the big flanges like the males do. And, you know, she's just sitting there in a big lump. And she's looking at you, and the woman started crying. And I'm thinking, you know, this could be like an animal totem or something. And but the woman's crying. She goes, that's Lucy. And I go, don't tell me you had a pet orangutan. She says, no, I'm the primate keeper at such and such a zoo, and Lucy died last year. Mm. And it was like, I couldn't have made that up if I had tried. Who brings in an orangutan, you know? And one that I so clearly saw is female rather than male. And, you know, it's like that to me proves that there's something going on that is not just my imagination or me reading people or mind reading, that there's real energy that is the basis of all living things. And that energy exists, mm-hmm, and can be read by people who are sensitive to it.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you ever wish you didn't have this gift?
Oh gosh, no.
Because I've heard people say that it can feel overwhelming, but you embrace it.
Well, it can be at some times. But also that's the part of being professionally trained. Mm-hmm. Like with, there's an on-off switch that we have learned to control. So it's not overwhelming. And the only time I feel, you know, or see people from spirit is when I am prepared for it, when I open myself up to that by saying a prayer.
An intentionality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If someone's coming to Lilydale and wants to see you, what's the process? Because I think maybe people are a little scared about making that phone call. What is the process to getting an appointment with a medium, and how do you choose out of 50 mediums?
Well, Lilydale Assembly has a website that they can log into. On that, there's a page of registered mediums, and it's got all the mediums that are allowed to do readings on the grounds with phone number and web page. They can look up their web page to see if they connect with that person or not. Then they can either send an email saying, I will be in Lilydale on such and such a day or week, you know, and I'd like to come at this time or whenever you have avail, morning, afternoon, whatever. and either send the email or make a phone call. But either way, we generally answer within a day. You know, sometimes we can't answer the phone during the day because we're busy doing readings. But, you know, we do get back to people eventually. So.
And how for people who can't travel to Lilydale, I noticed that there was the option for Skype calls or phone calls. How successful do you feel those are? Can people utilize that as successfully as coming to you in person?
Absolutely, because I'm not reading you. I'm reading your dead people. Okay. And they're not bound by time or space. Mm-hmm. So you can be in California and me in New York, and or I've read for people all around the world. You know, as long as we get the time zones right, we're good. But their spirit people can still come to me over the phone. Okay. So I don't need to see them or anything.
And then lastly, is there anything I didn't ask you because I don't know what I don't know? Is there something mm-hmm. that you want me to know about what you do or about Lilydale that I didn't know to ask?
It's not scary.
Okay.
And they're not going to turn around and see a dead person staring at them. And just because I bring through, you know, grandparents or whatever doesn't mean that those grandparents are now all of a sudden going to be finding their way home with them and standing in the shower. They don't care about that kind of stuff, you know? So it's, if they remember, it's all about the love. And people on the other side are governed by that. They let go of anger and hatreds and jealousies, and all they carry is the love. And so these people are not to be feared then.
Beautiful. You've been listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this has been a show from the road. And you can listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org under the News Talk tab. You can also send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Check out our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. You can also follow us on Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting Public Radio, KCBX.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go. Never been a sinner, I never sinned.